Well, good morning, friends. We're busy with a series I've called Jesus is the Lord. Because a while ago, I reminded you of this quote of Hudson Taylor. It said, Christ is either Lord of all or is not Lord of all. We've looked at it over the last few weeks and we'll continue looking at it until I feel we need to get to the point where we need to ask the question, if he is Lord, what then? Or so what? What are the implications? And so as we begin this evening's or today's service, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you that you will give us the strength we need, Lord, to face every particular situation you may bring before us. Thank you that we can surrender to you because, Lord, you are the only one worthy of our praise and our honor. We just want to commit ourselves to you now as we turn afresh to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first week we asked the question, what will it take for us to realize that Jesus is Lord? And I reminded us out of Acts chapter 10 that for Peter it took a vision from heaven, for Cornelius it took being introduced to Jesus. For those with Peter, it took the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I suggested that perhaps God has sent this pandemic amongst us to remind us and draw us to himself. Then in the second week, I preached about five reasons why I believe Jesus is Lord. And we looked at the fact that the Bible declares him as Lord. We looked at the Bible that speaks about his lordship prophetically. We looked at the fact that his lordship overrides creation and the law. That his lordship gives him the power to save. And friends, we were reminded that the day is coming when everybody is going to call him Lord in any case. So you might as well do it now. And last week we began looking at specific areas. Last week we were reminded that Jesus is Lord over the demons. As we studied that, we were reminded that the demons are real. They've got a leader. They understand spiritual truth, friends. But the most important lesson we learned last week that is, friends, Jesus or the demons obey Jesus. So tonight I want to remind us, or today I want to remind us, that Jesus is Lord, not only of the demons, but also over disease. Over the last 2 years, we have been reminded how susceptible we are to disease. An unseen enemy with the power to mutate has had us all living in fear. Worldwide, there have been 390 million cases of COVID. Over 5.7 million deaths worldwide already. In South Africa, 3.62 million cases, including 95,000 deaths. But friends, it's not those statistics that scare us, although they do. They're just numbers. It's the fact that every one of us knows somebody who's died. It's the fact that even in our small congregation, three people that were part of this congregation have died. Friend, it's the fact that our beloved elder, Ronnie, died. You see, friends, this disease has touched us all. But friends, Jesus is Lord over disease. I want to continue in our story in Mark chapter 5. I'm picking up at verse 24 in Mark chapter 5. It says, then Jesus went with him. He had just met a man called Jairus, and we'll look at that next week. But the verse starts with, then Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had a subject of bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his coat, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from the suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see, the people crowded against you," his disciple answered, "and yet you ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." I want you to notice, first of all, friends, disease is damaging. It's a horrible thing. It damages physically. This woman had been the subject of bleeding for 12 years, friends. I don't know if you've ever known a person who's had long-term illness. Friends, it's one of the most painful things to watch. I watched my own father battle with leukemia for more than 5 years. It was devastating to watch the decline in him, to sometimes see his skin color changed as they gave him different medications, to see the reaction to the chemotherapy, to see this man who was strong become so weak that I needed to carry him at one stage. Friends, disease damages physically, but it also damages emotionally. Verse 26 says, she suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. Some medical practitioners, friends, can sometimes make things worse when it comes to disease. Because you see, at times, medical practitioners may raise the hope of the person without truly having a cure for that illness. That was this woman's problem. She had suffered under their care. She was damaged emotionally. I'm sad to say that even the church has at least been equally, if not worse, at raising people's hopes when it comes to healing. The number of fake healers doing the rounds is growing as the years go by. People flock to the so-called healing crusades, friends, and are often left with long-term disappointment. Oh, they may at the meeting kind of have an experience that makes them feel as if they healed. But friends, the sad reality is that most of those soon after the so-called fake healer leaves go right back to where they were in the start. My father was experiencing that. In the last years of his life, my mother and father ran a Christian camping site. And when some kind of hyper Christians came there who, you know, thought they could heal people, and they heard my father had leukemia, every Tom, Dick, and Harry wanted to pray for my father. He was always being called to the hall where the meetings were being held because this particular preacher could heal him. Well, after about a year of being kind of emotionally dragged through the mud. Eventually, he just said, no more. I'm not going to expose myself to this anymore. And he faced his illness with resolve, friends. Friends, disease damages emotionally. But friends, thirdly, it also damages socially. Look at verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd. Have you ever wondered why she came up from behind? You see, according to Leviticus chapter 15, verses 19 to 31, when a woman had her normal issue of blood, she was not allowed to leave the home for 7 days until she had washed everything she had touched or worn, because friends, blood was considered to be unclean, that particular kind of blood. She could never leave the house, this woman, because she was perpetually bleeding. Friends, she had been isolated for 12 years from people. Can you imagine what that did for her socially? I think we can imagine a little bit, because friends, COVID has done that for us. It's condemned us to our houses. How many times have we been cut off from other people because of this dreadful disease? It's destroyed the church worldwide. People don't want to get together anymore because we live in fear all the time. Friends, we're Christian. We shouldn't be living in fear. Even if we die, it doesn't matter. We'll be with Christ. Disease, friends, the devil is having a field day because he doesn't want people to get together or the church. But not only does it destroy socially, it also damages spiritually. Because this woman had been bleeding for 12 years, according to Leviticus, friends, her bleeding prevented her from entering the temple precinct. She could never go to church because she was considered unclean. I wonder how many people have rejected God because of disease. I know some doctors personally have rejected God because they say, if God were good, why does he allow suffering? It's one of the most difficult questions we face as Christians. Disease, friends, destroys people spiritually. It's destroyed the faith of many who haven't experienced the healing that they wanted to experience. Well, we know from the story, it also destroys financially. It says there in verse 26, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Friends, medical care is expensive. Do you know that you spend 50% of all your medical expenses in the first 65 of the years of your life, and then the balance of the 50% in the time after 65. If you live short period after that, friends, 50% in the first 65 years, and 50% in the last maybe 5 to 15 years. Many a person or family has been destroyed financially because of medical expenses. My own family were a little bit like that. My parents had done very well in their business. But when my dad got ill, it ate up the money. But when my mother got ill, my mother decided she had kidney failure. And she had to wait for a kidney. But while she was doing that, she had to be on dialysis. And she worked out that if she spent the money that she had left after my dad had been through all his illnesses, if she spent all the money she had on receiving treatment, she would be able to stay alive for about another year. So she decided to stop the treatment because she wanted to be a blessing to her family by giving them a financial kind of help than spending all the money on herself. Friends, disease damages us financially. Yes, the reason, friends. Since disease is destructive, it must be part of the fall. For friends, it's the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Let's never lose sight of that. Friends, disease is damaging. But I want you to remember, secondly, friends, disease is destroyed by Jesus. Notice, first of all, the disease is not destroyed by the woman. In verse 29, we read these words, "Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering." That little phrase, "she felt in her body that she was freed," in the Greek is known as the perfect passive tense. And the perfect passive tense means, friends, it was a good thing that happened, perfect, and that she had nothing to do with it. The word means, friends, the healing was done to me and I played no part in how I was healed. Friends, why is this so important? You see, many today are being told that you only need to look inside for healing. The power for your healing is within you. I'm sure you've heard that before. Now, friends, while God has implanted within us amazing capacities of healing and self-restoration, friends, it's only God who activates the healing. It's got nothing to do with us. There will come a time, friends, where God won't allow us to be healed. He's the one who decides at what point in time that happens. Why? Well, there's a story in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. It says this, "As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? He has been born blind.' 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' Jesus said, 'but this happened that the work of God might be displayed in his life.'" Friends, the woman had no capacity to heal herself. Oh, we have the capacity. God has created that capacity. But friends, the second thing we must understand, that the disease is always destroyed by Jesus. Verse 29 says, "Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from the suffering." One of Mark's friend's favorite words to describe a miracle is the word "immediately." It's found 11 times in the book of Mark. Because, friends, immediately Jesus is able to heal. Mark chapter 1, verse 34. "And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out demons," which we spoke about last week. Mark chapter 1, verse 42. "Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured." Mark chapter 3 and verse 10. "For he had healed many, so that those with diseases pushed forward to touch him, Mark chapter 6, verse 13. He drove out many diseases and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Mark chapter 6, verse 56. Wherever he went, into villages, towns, and countryside, he placed the sick in the marketplace. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his coat, and all who touched him were healed. Mark chapter 10, verse 52. Go, he says, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Friends, healing takes place because Jesus is at the center of the healing. He's the one who heals. Jesus is Lord over disease. The woman couldn't heal herself. But friends, we must also understand, not every disease is destroyed. You see, it says this, at once Jesus realized power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding around you, his disciple answered, and yet you ask who touched you? You see, friends, the point the disciples are making is very valid. People went to many places where there were many large crowds. Now, there were times when people touched Jesus and were healed simply by touching him. But friends, it didn't happen every time. There were times when there were large crowds around him and no healing happened. Jesus at other occasions. Many wonder why God does not heal everybody. Friends, while God is not the author of disease, he does use disease for many reasons. He uses it to bring glory to himself, as we read a little bit earlier on in that other story, the blind man. He uses disease, friends, to teach perseverance. The book of James reminds us of that. That when we suffer trials, we will grow in our perseverance. Sometimes he uses disease to cause repentance. When David sinned with Bathsheba and the child who was born to them got sick, David, friends, mourned and eventually turned back to God because of that. Sometimes he uses disease simply to prove that a person is faithful. Job is that person who reminds us of that. So, friend, disease is damaging. But I want to remind us, friends, disease is destroyed by Jesus. Jesus is Lord over disease. But friends, the most important message is this one. Jesus, friends, destroyed the worst disease there ever was. In verse 32, it says, he kept looking around him to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling in fear, told him the truth. He said to the woman, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Can you imagine what the woman must have felt like when she realized Jesus was looking for her? It was as if she had been caught out. Verse 32 is kind of quite an imperative. Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. That woman must have felt kind of scared. The eyes, the piercing eyes of Jesus looking through the crowd. Have you ever wondered why Jesus wanted to find this woman? Friends, it wasn't because he didn't have enough power left to heal everybody else. At a snap of his finger, friends, he could heal all diseases. It wasn't because he wanted to catch the woman out. After all, she had broken the law. She had left her home. She was unclean. She wasn't meant to be there. It wasn't because this had not happened before. Because we had read in other verses that it happened before. It wasn't because the woman had not been healed. We know the woman had been healed. It wasn't because Jesus' friend wanted some payment for his services like so-called faith healers want. Give me the money and I'll heal you, they say. Friends, there's one simple reason. He wanted the woman to publicly acknowledge him as Lord so that she would receive ultimate healing, which only Jesus can give. Why do I know that? What does he say to her? Good luck, you've been healed. No, he says, go in your healing? No. He says, go in peace and be freed from your suffering. You see, friends, while the disease is damaging, while disease is destroyed by Jesus, friends, Jesus destroys the worst disease, which is sin. So in conclusion, friends, Jesus is much more interested in healing the true disease of sin. I can't offer you physical healing. But I can show you what you need to do to be healed from sin. I would never claim to have the power to heal you. If God wanted to give it to me, he would have given it to me a long time ago. He's never given it to me. But friends, I do know what you need to be healed from sin. And that is to confess Jesus as Lord, as this woman did. Because ultimately, that is the disease that humanity needs to be healed from most. Jesus can heal all the rest of them. There's no problem. But he's interested in healing you from your greatest disease, the disease of sin, most importantly. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that healing comes in your name. Thank you that you're ready to heal us, both physically, but most importantly, spiritually. We give you all the praise, Lord, that you made it possible for us to be healed by you because of what you've done for us on the cross. By your stripes, Lord, we are healed. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen. Lord bless you, friends. Be healed. You don't need to carry the burden of sin. You can be healed from the disease of sin. Amen.